I'm going to record, and we are recording, and here we go. This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got Bruce Allen on the line of Forgotten Missionaries International. We're going to be talking about Ramadan, and we're going to be focusing mainly on Indonesia, because there's some pretty exciting things coming up for that country. But first, I'd like to ask you a couple questions about Pakistan and Bangladesh, the other Muslim countries that you guys work in. What does Ramadan mean for the FMI-supported workers in these countries? I mean, Ramadan is a big Muslim holiday.
It is. It's probably the biggest event of the year as far as a spiritual ritual, other than if you're able to perform the Hajj, which is the pilgrimage to Mecca. But people perform the Hajj perhaps once in their lifetime. Ramadan is something that happens, every year. It's one of those holidays that floats throughout the year. In a way, if you think about the Christian celebration of Easter, sometimes it's in April, sometimes it's in March. It floats a little bit. It's not a fixed date. Well, the same is true of Ramadan, although it floats all throughout the year. So some years it's occurring in the wintertime, other times it's occurring in the summertime. So there are 30 days of fasting for this year. It will begin on the evening of Wednesday, June 17th, and run until the evening of Friday, July 17th.
Okay, and is this a time of increased hostility for your workers in the Muslim majority nations?
Tensions do increase dramatically. So obviously, Christian ministry continues during that.
Uh-oh. Bruce, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, it cut out after you said ministry. It just dropped.
Okay, I'll try and remember what I said and just pick up. Obviously, Christian ministry continues during Ramadan. The Christians are still meeting in their churches for worship, study, and fellowship as much as possible, trying to do outreach and ministry in the communities. But ministry does take a big toll, simply because of logistics. Most people in these Muslim-dominant countries, so the majority population, since they cannot eat during daylight hours, they must fast, they kind of just flip their schedules and say, okay, we're going to sleep all day and party at night. So they're eating at night after the sun has set and before the sun rises. So sometimes the Christians just do not have the interaction with Muslims because Muslims are at home sleeping. It's difficult for business to get conducted during Ramadan, during what we'll say is normal business hours. The whole tenor of society changes during this month. So it does have an impact on ministry. This year, since it falls in the summertime, I know, like in a lot of areas in Pakistan, it will be over 100 degrees during the summertime, the temperatures. And when people cannot even drink water during Ramadan, they get very irritable in the heat. And what could start out as a pleasant conversation, even if it's not about spiritual topics, can quickly degenerate into arguments and debates and things that are not conducive to sharing the gospel with people. So it does make it a lot harder during Ramadan for these evangelists.
And we were talking briefly before we started, and you've gotten some stories or some reports from your partners. Are there any that you can share with us?
Oh, sure. I'll give one example of some increased tension, but there's also examples of people who will engage in spiritual conversation. One story comes out of Pakistan, again, in a place where temperatures can get very hot during the summertime. And one of my friends noticed two of his Christian friends, who are actually guests visiting that city, sitting outside of his home. They, as guests, they were probably not as aware that it was Ramadan during that time. They were drinking a soda outside. And two young Muslim guys were just walking down the street, saw them, took the food, the beverages from those Christian guys, threw it far away from them and said, "Don't you know this is Ramadan? You should respect us and not eat in front of us." Well, there was no one in the street when those two guys were sitting down that they were drinking in front of. There was no offense intended. And so often it seems that offense is taken when there is no intent for offense. Even in that same area, there was a Muslim man who's sick and paralyzed, and he sits in the street and sells eggs. And other Muslims who were walking by were very offended that this man was selling eggs during daylight hours. He wasn't eating them, but they destroyed his carton of eggs and said, "Why are you selling this food? And Christians could be buying this, and you're a bad Muslim." And they attacked this paralyzed man who was totally defenseless. So there are increased hostilities during this time. However, there are increased opportunities, especially for Muslims who are genuinely trying to observe this time of fasting in order to focus on the spiritual aspects of their life. They're trying to minimize the physical, and that's why they're fasting, in order to accentuate the spiritual. They can engage Christians in some really significant conversation. And Hanif, one of our pastors in Indonesia, tells me a story about a conversation he had during Ramadan with one of the civic leaders in his village. So this is a man who's pretty high up the political chain, who's a Muslim, and yet he has a very good relationship with Hanif, one of the pastors. And Hanif said, "You know, I see that there's posters all around, billboards, there's flyers being handed out, announcements on the radio, encouraging everybody, Muslim or not Muslim, so the minorities, the Christians, they should give respect to the Muslims and appreciate the, this Muslim month of fasting. So please don't eat or drink in restaurants and things like that." And so Hanif said, "You know, I see all this going on, and I want to ask you a personal question. Are you fasting because it truly is your desire to have a pure heart before God, or is it that you're forced to fast, that this is just purely out of obligation and you have to do this because all the other Muslims are fasting?" And this man, whom I'll call Mehdi, said, "Oh, of course I'm fasting because of my desire for a pure heart. And I want to increase my spirituality." And Hanif said, "Well, if your fasting truly is to become more spiritual and grow in godly qualities, shouldn't these announcements be changed that the Muslims should respect the people who do not participate in Ramadan, the Christians or the Hindus or the Buddhists? Because often they are hungry and to eat during the day because they're still sleeping at night. That's not when they're eating, and it's very difficult for them. So why do you make the Christians go through all this as well? Shouldn't the announcements be addressed toward the Muslims, tolerating and respecting other faiths?" And Mehdi just said, "Yes, you're right." And he was even laughing at that point. And he said to the pastor, "But what Muslim would have the bravery to act that way or encourage other Muslims to act that way? That would create many problems for the Muslim community. So Hannah said, okay, so maybe I ask you again, is your fasting because of a desire to purify your heart, really? Or is it out of force, social obligation? And Mehdi just paused. He had to rethink his answer, and all he could do was laugh and could not respond to that. However, Mehdi...
Uh-oh. Bruce, you cut out again.
Okay, I'm still here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. It's just so weird. It cuts out. Like, you'll be talking, and then it just stops. Like, nothing comes out. So you got me on a cliffhanger. You said, however, Mehdi...
Did I say about his response and just laughing and not say anything?
Yep.
Okay, but then, however, Mehdi ended up attending church services at Hanif's church that he pastors. And even at Christmas time recently, was involved there attending again and was hearing the gospel and is much more open to trying to figure out what really is truth. Is this Islamic faith that I hold to, is it really valid? How can I know what truth is? And so there are great conversations and opportunities for our evangelists and our pastors to engage the majority population in these countries, as long as they are respectful and know how to tactfully guide a conversation along spiritual topics.
So
that's one of the things that we really like to stress in our ongoing training conferences and seminars with our supported indigenous staff, is how to operate as Christians in a Muslim-dominant country and still be beacons of light and hope and redemption.
And you led perfectly into my next question, because I was going to ask you about that ongoing training that you and your wife and another couple, I believe, are going to Indonesia. Is that going to be your focus during Ramadan?
Well, I end up going to Indonesia to meet with our national leadership team, do field evaluations, assessments with the pastors and evangelists during the summer month, because that is a time that's very conducive for them to be meeting with me and to gather for seminars, things like that. Well, this year it happens that when I'll be there, along with this four-member team that we'll be taking in, it will be Ramadan while we are in the world's largest Muslim country. And so there are going to have to be some special things that we need to be careful about while we're just going about our business there in Indonesia. When to eat, how to eat. But we will be, our team of four will be spearheading multiple ongoing training seminars. Indonesia is an island nation. There's over 6,000 inhabited islands, and we'll be holding seminars for the pastors, evangelists, and church planters on two of those islands. And each conference is a multi-day conference. So we're gathering the pastors and their wives from various areas to attend one of these two conferences. And we'll be discussing how their homes become a lighthouse for the gospel, a beacon in this culture. And it's not just what happens at church. It's a lot of what happens outside of the church as well, especially our engagement with the majority population. That's not happening in the church services as much. That's happening outside of the church services.
Okay. And we know, or I guess most of our listeners are familiar with the hostile environment in Pakistan for Christians. How does the environment compare in Indonesia?
Well, it varies from region to region. Even on an island like Java, the largest island by population for Indonesia. One area of Java, central Java, not too many problems. Like where Hanif lives, that I was sharing that story, he would say many of the Muslims in his area are what he calls soft Muslims. Yes, they're Muslim, but they're not radical. They're not trying to attack churches or pastors' homes. They're definitely part of a separate lifestyle than the Christians, but it's not too difficult. Other places, Eastern Java, is more difficult. More radical Muslims live in those areas. We have reports from many of our pastors serving in that area of persecution, even within families, not just that it's a group of Muslim terrorists coming to attack a church, but one believer, you know, who's come out of a Muslim background, how the rest of that person's family treats him or her. And the stories of abuse and persecution and discrimination are very strong in that part of the island. So it really varies from place to place.
And why would you say it's important for Christians, like our listeners, to be praying for ministries like yours and for outreach to Muslims during Ramadan?
It's especially crucial at this time because even just if it's a token ascent, Muslims are trying to say, I want to develop my spiritual life. And so if they engage Christians who can say, here's how to become alive spiritually, and this is what Jesus Christ does for you, and present the gospel to them, we need to pray that people would be open, that there'd be fertile soil in their hearts for the seed of the gospel to take root. There are people, Muslims, who, especially during this month and at special times of the month, will say very significant prayers because they think that this night of all nights of Ramadan is when God would hear my prayer, and I want to know him. So there's an increased sensitivity to spiritual matters, and we want to pray for the courage of Christians, the tactfulness of Christians as they would share the gospel. We want to pray that God would be drawing many from every tribe, every language, every culture to himself. That was God's purpose in sending Jesus Christ. So we want to pray for Christians to have freedom to practice their faith, to be bold to take opportunities to enlighten others' lives with the Word of God. And we want to pray for Muslim people that God would be touching their heart, would be drawing them, that they would know the assurance of forgiveness, and that they would have understanding of truth.
We will certainly put those prayer needs out there. It's also important to come alongside ministries and assist with their tangible needs as well. Are there one or two core tangible things that you guys need assistance with?
Sure. Especially with this conference coming up during Ramadan in Indonesia, in multiple places for multiple days, there's obviously significant expenses attached to that. For we want to offer pastors travel subsidies to get to these sites. We want to, since we'll be talking a lot about family issues, whether it's relationships, practical things about developing and maintaining budgets, having ministry as a family in the community. We're encouraging not just a pastor to come, but we want a spouse to come as well. The wives will be having special sessions just for the women, and some just for the men, and then some where we're all together. Scholarships for each family run about $125 for these conferences. So if we could have the help of Christians in the Mission Network News audience coming alongside of these men and women who are going to be the beacons of hope in their communities, that would be a tremendous thing. People can go to our website, ForgottenMissionaries.org, and donate to our education and training category or account. Another tangible way that it is an ongoing need is for scriptures, especially for the pastors in the areas of persecution. The pastors may have a Bible, but there's not a Bible bookstore at the corner of an intersection in town. They don't have the same resources that we do. So a lot of people in their congregations do not have Bibles. The pastors do, and maybe a few people in a congregation do, but not many. And so even just at a cost of $6 a Bible, we can provide Bibles in native languages and safely distribute them in these areas. It's a huge help. And often, one Bible in these areas are shared by maybe three or four different families, and it kind of makes the rounds in a congregation. So one Bible can be impacting a dozen lives or more. So that would be a great gift as well for folks. And to contribute for the purchase of Bibles in native languages, that would be a gift, a contribution to our tangible resources account.
All right. We'll get our listeners connected with all of that. For now, that wraps up my questions. Was there anything I missed or anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I would like to say that as much as our focus as Christians when we hear about Ramadan is about this 30-day fast, I have to say that really it's about feasting in the Muslim world. More emphasis is put on food than on refraining from food during this time. And the consumption of food increases tremendously. The purchase of milk and eggs and bread increases 200% during...
Uh-oh, you cut out again.
Oh, okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you ended at... something, consumption or something of milk and bread and eggs.
Okay. Yeah. The purchase and consumption of things like milk and eggs and bread increase 200% during Ramadan. And that can be tracked any year in which, or any month during any given year when Ramadan occurs. Television shows. 70% of the programming that I hear about, special programming in Pakistan, for example, is about cooking. So as strange as it seems, you know, we think, oh, they're fasting. Really, many Muslims are just flipping their schedules, and they're actually increasing their consumption of food during this time. It's a strange irony, but it's what the reality is.
It's interesting to note because I've never heard that before.
Well, I've been in Muslim-dominant countries during Ramadan. The billboards, the advertisements for "Come eat at our restaurant" are just all over the place. They're advertising Moonlight Madness specials. You know, so it's only after the sun goes down, but people are eating and eating more than they do at other times. So we really need to pray for Muslims to be honest about their motives during this time, and ask them, like Pastor Hanif did, what is your spiritual life? Are you dead or alive? And what makes you that way? So, great opportunities during this month for Christians who are willing to engage their neighbors.
We agree, and we will certainly share all of this. Excited to share this. Just to remind our listeners, I've been speaking with Bruce Allen of Forgotten Missionaries International about Ramadan and how that impacts ministry in Muslim-majority nations. Bruce, thanks so much, as always, for being with us today on Mission Network News.
You're welcome. My pleasure to be with you.